Good afternoon, 4:30 and 78 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm behind a tree now, right next to the batting cage, and I'm seeing shots skipping off of the warning track.
Senator Rand Paul was on the field today when a man began shooting across a baseball diamond in Virginia. He was not hit, but others were. A decision will not be made until later this month on whether the death penalty is an option in a local murder case. And Congressman Rogers is upset with a delay in the construction of a new prison in eastern Kentucky. In sports, a Moorhead State University pitcher is chosen in this week's Major League Baseball draft. Bud Luke has the business news. Partly cloudy this evening, a chance of showers, low of 66. A full check of the weather forecast after this news. Senator Rand Paul was the only member of Kentucky's congressional delegation present today when gunfire broke out at a congressional baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia. Paul says he saw Congressman Steve Scalise get hit.
There ended up being at least 50 or 60 shots fired, and at that point people were dropping. At least one of the staffers may have been hit in right field, and another one, I said, do you want to try to get out? And all of a sudden he was up and he was over the 20-foot fence in about 2 seconds.
Senator Paul says Capitol Police officers returned fire and killed the gunman. Commonwealth's attorney Ronnie Goldie says he's not expecting a decision on whether the death penalty can be pursued in a 6-year-old murder case until June 29th. Goldie says several defense motions were filed Tuesday on behalf of accused killer Nikki Miller of Stanton. Miller is charged in the slaying of 52-year-old Paul Brewer, whose body was found in his Montgomery County home. Circuit Judge Bill Lane has taken the motions and the challenges to them under advisement. Goldie says the case is still slated to be tried July 17th in Rowan County. WSAZ is reporting that Ashland police have made an arrest and confiscated what they call a substantial quantity of methamphetamine. Police say they took 27-year-old Kirk King into custody at the DeBoard Terrace Apartments Monday night after receiving a call about alleged drug dealing at the complex. King is held in the Boyd County Detention Center. Kentucky's criminal ban on medical marijuana is being challenged in a lawsuit that says its use could help combat the state's opioid addiction woes. The suit filed today in Franklin County Circuit Court in Frankfort lists three plaintiffs who have used medical marijuana to help ease health problems. The suit says the medical marijuana ban violates constitutional privacy rights. Rowan County jailer Wes Coldiron expects things to go well when his facility moves into its new $18 million building on U.S. 60 East in the next several months. Coldiron says the biggest challenge will be making sure that he has enough personnel to handle the change of going from a detention center that has 78 beds to one that has nearly 300.
You know, if we open in January as projected, you know, I've discussed in fiscal court, we've all discussed it, I think maybe start hiring new staff in maybe November to try to get them trained on how we do things, maybe through the old jail. And at that time, the new jail will be coming probably more usable. I can take my staff up there and do some different training issues and different things and look at different issues that we could face.
Coldiron estimates that he'll probably have to hire and train 10 to 15 new staff members before the Rowan jail shifts over to its new facility. Congressman Hal Rogers is expressing dismay with the Trump administration's plan not to build a $400 million federal prison in Letcher County. The Pulaski County Republican told Assistant Attorney General Rod Rosenstein at a hearing in Washington yesterday Congress authorized the lockup last year to relieve overcrowding.
General, the Congress decided this, and it's the Congress that controls the purse strings of the country. It's been passed. It's the law. The money is there, appropriated, authorized, everything in order. We recognize there's a problem. We've got terrific overcrowding. Yes, we've made some reductions in recent years, but not enough. But this has been decided. and we expect it to be carried out.
However, Rosenstein told Rogers that federal prison population has been reduced by 30,000 over the past 4 years. He says the Eastern Kentucky Penitentiary is no longer needed.
We may well have a need for a prison in that district or elsewhere in the future, but again, the tough budget choice that we made here, given the projections for the future, the Bureau of Prisons just didn't feel that we needed that facility at this time.
The Letcher County Prison had been scheduled to be built in Roxana. It was projected to create about 300 jobs. A spokeswoman for Morehead State's physical plant says the $49 million effort to renovate and expand the university's student center is 42% done. According to Shayla Ring, officials from MSU, the project's architectural firm and construction contractor are pleased with that progress. She notes the work at the Adrian Doran University Center actually amounts to two initiatives.
It's the renovation of the current facility and the expansion, which is increasing the footprint of the student center. So it's kind of two different projects. And our architects and our contractors and our construction company are working to finish the renovation aspect and then at the same time working on the expansion aspect.
Along with completely renovating the interior of the current ADUC building, 60,000 new square feet will be added to its east side. The project is expected to be finished in the fall of 2018. The Boyd County Fiscal Court has given final approval to a tax increment financing district. Here is MSPR's Jacob Lindberg.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, city officials want to stress that a TIF district does not increase local tax rates. Simply put, the TIF district would allow the city of Ashland to better capitalize the current flow of tax dollars. In addition, the Ashland TIF is designed to incentivize businesses and developers to locate in the city. Investors are currently planning to buy the Ashland Plaza Hotel, renovate it, and turn it into a Marriott brand Delta Hotel. Without the TIF, they'd likely back out of the purchase. The new hotel would create 85 to 100 jobs and generate an additional $4.7 million in local taxes. The Boyd County Fiscal Court unanimously approved the TIF ordinance Tuesday. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Ashland City Commissioner Marty Goot says it's difficult to know what to do about an overpopulation of deer in the city. He was responding to a businesswoman's suggestion that commissioners authorize a limited special deer gun hunt. Goot says it's illegal to discharge a firearm in Ashland, but there are other things people can do.
It's a very hard thing. There are some repellents you can get at the local Tractor Supply and Milling Company, but it's a hard thing. I have a whole herd that lives in Ashland Cemetery close to me, and they multiply. And so it's a very hard decision. Some people are, say, leave them alone. Some people want them eradicated.
Goot says bow hunting would be permitted under Ashland's current ordinances, but that, he says, would be a hot topic. Morehead's top official is not giving up on a proposal that he estimates could raise $1 million a year for recreation and other community needs. Both City Council and the Rowan Fiscal Court recently nixed a plan issued by the Morehead-Rowan County Recreation Committee to have the city add to the list of insurance premiums that it taxes while having the county then create those same taxes. Mayor Jim Tom Trent believes if local leaders take more time to study the idea, they'll eventually approve it, but he says time is of the essence.
This has to be enacted before March 31st of each year. It takes a year to collect the tax. You only get them back once a year. So really, you're looking at almost a two-year process before you see the money. That's why we really tried to push that and said, look, let's get it in this March so that they can collect it in a year and we can be looking for some of that money next year. It's over. It would be over a year, year and a half, where you get the money back.
City Parks and Recreation Director David Morris has estimated the increased insurance premium taxes would cost Rowan Countyans about $50 to $100 annually. A private nonprofit organization serving Ohio's Appalachian counties is appealing to state lawmakers to support additional funding for early childhood development programs. Ron Reese is with the Corporation for Ohio Appalachian Development, which supports child care, education, and senior initiatives in more than 30 counties, including Scioto and Lawrence. Reese testified Tuesday before the Senate Finance Committee.
Children and families in Appalachia have even less access to child care than other areas of Ohio. In other areas of the state, there are 2.8 children for every child care slot. In Appalachia, there are 3.8. Of the 13,840 children in Ohio who will have better access to quality care with the fix that we've requested, 1,116 of them live in Appalachia.
Reese says just 13% of the people in Ohio's Appalachian counties have access to quality early childhood development programs. Kentucky's senior senator denies that there's anything unusual about the process the Republican caucus is using to craft a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Mitch McConnell spoke at a press conference in Washington Tuesday. He says GOP senators continue to meet and are not releasing details of their proposed legislation just yet, but issues with the health care system have been well known for a long time.
It's not a new thing. We've spent a lot of time on it, all of us, both sides, over the last 7 years. We know a lot about the subject. We know how complicated it is. Nobody's hiding the ball here. You're free to ask anybody anything, but there have been gazillions of hearings on this subject. When they were in the majority, when we were in the majority, we understand this issue pretty well.
Unfortunately, says McConnell, replacement of the ACA can only pass with Republican votes since Democrats have declined to participate. And finally, this afternoon, today is Flag Day, which has been observed annually in Moorhead since 1976, and this June 14th was no exception. Local veterans and other citizens gathered in Moorhead's Veterans Park at noon to pay tribute to the Stars and Stripes. Danny Nipp is president of the Rowan County Veterans Foundation. He says it's important to remember that every freedom Americans enjoy has been made possible by a veteran.
By 100 veterans, 1,000 veterans, 1,000,000 veterans, the thousands and thousands that have given their lives. We have 94 names on our Killed in Action section of the wall here. These people from Rowan County, 94 in the wars, have given their lives so that the general public can have all the freedoms that you have today. Without the veterans, forget the freedoms.
President Wilson in 1916 was the first to suggest that Americans recognize June 14th as the day to honor the flag. However, it did not become an official observance until President Truman signed legislation in 1949. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 11 p.m. tonight. There should be patchy fog between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m., otherwise, partly cloudy and a low around 66. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely once again, mainly after 3 p.m., patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 85, the chance of precipitation 60% Thursday. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts are possible with those thunderstorms. Around the region, it is 79 degrees in Ashland, 74 in Winchester, 73 in Inez and Flemingsburg, 72 in Lexington, and 78 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University. 444 on our feature segment this afternoon. We have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian presents the second part of his conversation with Moorhead physician Dr. Fred Halilon, who was born in the Philippines and recalls the challenges of working in a hospital ER.
You know, when you are an emergency room doctor, you want to be able to make a diagnosis right there, when you see the patients. But sometimes you can't. Making a diagnosis of what the patients present with can sometimes be a challenge. So your brain really has to work. You know, you have to trust your judgment, your guts. You have to expand your what we call the differential diagnosis. Okay, if somebody presents with abdominal pain, for example, you've got to think of a lot of things so that if you cannot make a diagnosis, at least you will rule out the bad ones. So you make a decision, what kind of test I need to do in order to rule out the catastrophic diagnosis. Like, for example, I want to make sure that this patient is not rupturing his aorta because that could be a killer. Of course, you know, you just don't subject everyone to the process. You can't just do scan everybody. Just to, you have to make a judgment of which patients should I do that on or right. perform that on, okay? Because there are certain criteria that you have to follow in trying to decide, you know, which patients you need to do tests on. See, everybody doesn't really need to be subjected to all these tests. That makes it a challenge and stressful because I go home from work and I'm already thinking, you know, who I sent home, who can get worse later on. But, you know, it's part of the job. Hopefully you did your best. You know, they present to you with different complaints, you know, and you have to sort them out. The earaches and the cough, those are simple stuff. I mean, patients who come in with chest pains and abdominal pain and headache. You know, headaches are not simple. Headaches can be from migraine to stroke. The spectrum of complaints is so wide that, you know, you just have to sort them out. And, you know, it's challenging. So I did that for about 21 years. And, of course, you know, after doing that for that long period of time, you get burnt out. I'm staffing the walk-in clinic 2 days a week. It's still run by Sinclair. It's part of the family medicine clinic to keep my brain exercising and trying to avoid getting forgetful. So I still enjoy doing that. The walk-in clinic has actually helped decompressing the emergency department. Okay, so instead of, you know, patients going to the ER for some minor illnesses, now they can come to our clinic. There are patients who still do not have family physicians. Or if they have family physicians, they can't see them right away because, you know, they're booked up. So that has been really a problem here. People get sick, you know, they wake up having a fever or whatever they got. They can't see their family doctors right away. So that is good for the emergency department because, you know, they can concentrate on seeing really, really sick people, hopefully with a minimal waiting time, you know, because in some areas it's not unusual for people to wait 8 hours
in the emergency
right. department to be seen.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, I'd love to share my story. It's challenging. It's rewarding, though, when you're able to pick up a certain diagnosis that actually saves patients. That's very rewarding.
Of course.
You know, you go home and say, I made a difference today.
Yeah.
It's one of those times that you're thinking of yourself, I'm glad I'm an emergency room doctor.
That is Dr. Fred Hallalon of Moorhead on our regular Wednesday series, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. 4:49, all things considered, at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Moorhead State pitcher Aaron Lasher is looking forward to starting his pro career After winning 9 games and posting a 4.19 ERA for the Eagles this spring, the junior left-hander was taken in the 6th round of this week's Major League Draft by the San Diego Padres.
It's going to be a fun journey. I know they're a good organization and have a good minor league system. I think I'll develop well there, and I have plenty of opportunities to progress through their minor league system and, you know, get a shot at the big leagues, and that's all we hope for. So, I think it's going to be a good organization to start with, and I'm really excited to get it going.
Leisure is MSU's highest draft pick since pitcher John Roush was taken by the Chicago White Sox in the 3rd round back in 1999. Meanwhile, Red skipper Brian Price says he's heard good things about his team's first-round draft pick. Cincinnati made California high school right-hander Hunter Green the Major League Draft's 2nd overall choice. Green reportedly has hit 102 miles an hour on the radar gun, and Price has been impressed with his poise during interviews. He says the Reds will face the difficulty of trying to balance and protect Green's still-developing arm this summer while also trying to turn him into a professional pitcher.
If he does sign, or when he does sign, he'll get out there and pitch, and I'm sure be involved in our instructional league program and have a throw-in program put together. I just don't want it to be so conservative because we're being so in such protection mode that it doesn't allow him to develop the way that he should.
Price, though, believes the Reds will be careful with the 18-year-old Green's arm. The Reds are currently in action, finishing up a series with the Padres. Currently in the game, the Reds lead 2-0 in the 4th inning. Jose Pereza and Joey Votto have both homered for the Reds. Amir Garrett is on the mound for Cincy. The Reds lost their 5th straight game last night in San Diego, 6-2. Scott Feldman picked up the loss after giving up 4 runs on 8 hits and 5 innings of work. Despite that, though, he feels like he had a good game.
Baseball's a funny game, and